Welcome to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Talk about stuff that's messing with your head and crazy stuff that's happening in the bed. Why? Because many church folks are falling into darkness. And the Bible calls us to walk as children of light. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days, they're evil. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the weirdest things that's going on in our neighborhood today is the civil rights movement has been hijacked. Did you hear what I said? I said the civil rights movement has been hijacked. And some of the leaders of the civil rights movement, they are even a part of the people who's hijacking the movement. And ladies and gentlemen, that is very strange. The civil rights movement today, ladies and gentlemen, has been basically hijacked by the gay rights movement. As a matter of fact, the day when you start talking about civil rights, most people think you're talking about gay rights. Yeah, most people think it's gay rights, because now our civil rights leader, I'm talking about our black civil rights leaders, ladies and gentlemen, you don't hear them pushing for equality and affirmative action a lot of time for black people. They are pushing for affirmative action and equality for gay people. So, ladies and gentlemen, about the bottom line is that the civil rights movement has been hijacked. But you don't have to take my word for it. Just get close to your radio and you can hear it for yourself. They are taking, ladies and gentlemen, speeches that was made by Dr. King and some of the other great civil rights leaders, and they are modifying those speeches and they are inserting words in them to push for gay rights rather than civil rights. But get close to your radio and you'll hear it for yourself.
That we have, it was wrong, just out of pure logic, for black people to be discriminated against solely on the basis of color. The 1964 and 65 Civil Rights Act was clearly something that needed to be done in order to hold up the whole notion of justice in our country.
Again, to paraphrase Dr. King, I may not get there with you, but someday we shall enter the promised land where men and women will not be judged by their sexual desires, but by the content of their character.
Many fail to notice Mr. Kramer's substitution of the word sexual behavior for skin color, as he misquoted the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on the steps of the U.S. Capitol. Thus began the 1993 March on Washington for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender equal rights.
the 1993 March on Washington for lesbian, gay, and bisexual equal rights. And liberation comes 30 years after the 63 March that Dr. King immortalized with his I Have a Dream speech. And for us, this is a continuation of that civil rights struggle.
Now, homosexuals are using not only the language, but they are beginning to insist that the statutes, the laws, all of the advantages gained by civil rights leaders such as Martin Luther King be now applied to homosexuals.
We are an emerging, sort of the emerging latest great civil rights movement of the 90s.
Currently, that is a movement in this country that threatens to undermine and belittle the entire civil rights effort of the 1960s.
Homosexuals have equal rights under the First Amendment, the 14th Amendment, and the state constitution of every state in which they reside. But the issue here today is special rights, a special category of protection. They want to be elevated from a behavior-based lifestyle to a true minority status that would give them special rights.
Once we get our rights, we want to have fun.
It's an effort by homosexuals and lesbians to promote their lifestyle. They don't want equal treatment. They want to be able to push their ideas, to get the acceptance of their lifestyle, and then to get special benefits as a result of it.
This Civil Rights Act amendment would completely neutralize the Civil Rights Act of 1964. What it will do is that it will say that anyone with any type of sexual preference, which would include everyone, would be protected under this law. So therefore, there would be no protection for minorities specifically.
Our community is at the verge of the bursting point. People are dying and they are prepared to do anything. Very many people have nothing to lose. And if the government does not respond in a positive way, I predict that you're going to see massive disruption in this society.
According to the U.S. Supreme Court, any person seeking protected minority class status must satisfy three elements: immutable characteristics like race and gender, financial discrimination, and political weakness. The group must be clearly identified by unchangeable physical characteristics such as skin color or gender that defines them as an insular and discrete group.
As a white male, I have no rights whatsoever other than what is shared with everybody else. We have granted certain rights to take care of past discrimination, invidious discrimination based on such things as race or on gender. But it seems to me that, again, these are benign characteristics having nothing to do with behavior.
Minorities have come in and said, we resent the homosexual community comparing the skin color to that kind of lifestyle. The skin color is not something we could control. But homosexuality is a preference. It is something that can be dealt with, can be controlled.
Homosexuality is a lifestyle. And the Hispanic community is an ethnic group. The Hispanic community does not want to be compared with homosexuals.
Government has no business putting a stamp of approval on a behavior-based group, let alone elevated to full minority status.
The high-handed attempt on the part of gay and lesbian movements to hijack the 1964 Civil Rights Act in order to try to give national credence to their immoral lifestyle is an offense to Black America.
There are few people willing to stand up and rebut this whole notion that there is any kind of comparison to the sexuality of homosexuals and the skin tone of Black people. It is a horrendous lie. Black people are not born choosing to be Black. But homosexuals, on the other hand, despite what all of them seem to want to indicate to us, choose their homosexual lifestyles.
The group must have suffered a history of discrimination resulting in the lack of ability to earn an average mean income, obtain an adequate education, or enjoy cultural opportunities. Compare these results of a nationwide survey reported in the Wall Street Journal between homosexuals and African Americans regarding average household incomes, percentage of college graduates, percentage of those holding professional managerial positions, percentage of those who have taken overseas vacations. Have either African Americans or homosexuals ever been denied the right to vote? Ever faced legal segregation? Ever denied access by law to public drinking fountains and restrooms? Ever denied by law access to businesses and restaurants?
Their high income, their education, their current status in society compared to the mean or the median income in minority families today, I mean, it's just there's no comparison. So for them to want protection under this law and to try to further beat down the minorities and further lessen their chances of equal protection and equal chances at jobs, I just think is ludicrous.
If you look across America, homosexuals are not in conclaves as homeless people under bridges and in food lines waiting for things. These are high income people who want to push their agenda.
I think that it really flaunts and makes a mockery of other legitimate civil rights that people have worked for years. And to give this kind of recognition is going to undermine all kinds of laws that are already on the books, and it's going to hurt a lot of people that deserve these protections.
The group must demonstrate that they are politically powerless. In the 1992 elections, the homosexual community claimed to have donated $3.4 million to Clinton's campaign and supplied many other campaigns with volunteers and contributions, making them one of the most financially powerful political forces today. Their political power was further evidenced by the appointment of militant lesbian activist Roberta Actenberg as the nation's top fair housing official.
The homosexual lobbyists, the homosexual groups in this country are well-funded, well-connected to powerful politicians.
Well, we're a powerful voting force now. I think that we have a pretty solid role in the Democratic Party. We have friends in Congress.
We have more support on Congress than non-supporters. There are many people that come out repeatedly in the D.C. city government. All of the city council members have come out repeatedly in favor of gay rights.
Homosexuality is defined as a behavior by the act of sex with members of the same sex. It does not qualify for minority status classification because behavior or conduct is irrelevant. As recently as 1986, the U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice Berger ruled in Bowers v. Hartwick that, in constitutional terms, there is no such thing as a fundamental right to commit homosexual sodomy.
Elevated civil rights status should not be granted to homosexuals any more than it's granted to any other group in our society where there has been no real reason for granting that status, and particularly in an area where a large percentage of the population regards such conduct to be immoral.
No one should have special rights or privileges or minority status because of their sexual behavior. We don't have it for people who are polygamous. We don't have it for people who have affairs on their wives or husbands.
The idea that the founding fathers or our Constitution somehow enshrines within it civil rights or special human rights for interest groups or for behavior groups, homosexuals, whatever kind of behavior group you want to come up with, that's totally false, totally contrary to the understanding of the fathers.
Our intent is to see that everyone is treated fair and equal, and they are being treated equal under the law as a citizen of America.
That's right.
But their behavior should not dictate special preference for them.
This is a matter of good law versus bad law. And it is bad law to codify into public policy a special right and a special protection based on nothing other than what you do in the privacy of your own bedroom.
Four basic myths have been advanced by militant homosexual leaders over the years. These myths have become the foundation on which the gay political platform has been built. The already mentioned myth that homosexuality meets the qualifications of a minority, that 10% of the population is homosexual, that homosexuality is genetic, hormonal, or biological, and as a result, homosexuals cannot change and become heterosexual. The 10% figure taken from Alfred Kinsey's infamous sex study included prisoners, sex offenders, and child molesters as participants. Dr. Paul Gephardt, a partner in the Kinsey study, has admitted that the 10% figure was incorrect. All recent national studies place the homosexual population at around 1%. Confronted with these facts, gay leaders are only now admitting that the inflated percentage was used for political purposes.
The thing about the 1 in 10, I think people probably always did know that it was inflated, but it was a nice number that you could point to, that you could say 1 in 10, and it's a really good way to get people to visualize that we're here.
There are people who believe that they are born homosexual. They have been taught that, and having been taught that, they accept that. And of course, if that's true, then there's no way that change could ever take place. But that's simply not true. Scientific studies have shown that genes are not the problem.
Now, some people will say, well, they're born this way. There is no evidence, there is no conclusive evidence that homosexuality is predetermined.
You're not born with it. It is something that you adapt yourself to. It's something that you choose.
Well, I think one makes a choice to be gay. I'm not sure that there is enough research to prove whether or not a person is born with genetic proclivities toward being gay. As a person with a psychological background, I know for me it was a choice that I made around 30, and there were times when I was real ambivalent about it. It's a real hard choice to make because it's an unpopular one.
It seems to me that the whole gay and lesbian years was about choice. It was about choice to begin with. People get the right to choose who they love.
Can someone who has had a homosexual struggle see a change in his life leading to complete heterosexuality? The answer is yes.
What I do is something called reparative therapy. It's not only possible to diminish the behavior, but it's possible to diminish the intensity of the homosexual attraction and to increase heterosexual feelings.
I know they can change. I was a practicing homosexual for 17 years, and I've been free of that for 13.
I've been out of the gay life now for 8 years.
God has healed me of my homosexual attractions. God has healed me of that need for a heavy emotional bond, overtly emotional bond, with other men.
God set me free 13 years ago when I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. So I know that the change is possible. I've worked in this kind of ministry, the ministry to homosexuals, for 8 years, and time and again, I've seen people transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. It isn't an easy thing. It is a deeply rooted problem. Most of us did have those feelings very, very early on, and they're rooted in early hurts and rejections.
I had mixed up feelings. I became gender confused. I wanted to become a woman to satisfy the inward needs that I had. And through the blood of Jesus and through the understanding of what God wanted in my life for his love for me, he showed me my true self, and I truly now am a heterosexual man.
Homosexuality is a sin. No more sinful, no less sinful than other sins. It is forgivable. God saves people who are involved in homosexuality.
Don't get sucked into the gay agenda. Don't get sucked into the unquestioned assumption that now you have no other choice but to join the gay community. Nonsense.
300,000 attended the extravagant March on Washington. Organizers resorted to full-page advertisements in gay publications to lure as many sympathizers as possible to the nation's capital. Hundreds of thousands of gays, lesbians, bisexuals, sadomasochists, and transgenders were attracted by the promise of a wild 3-day sexually indulgent celebration. The purpose of the 1993 March on Washington, which was funded in part by the Presidential Inauguration Committee, was to publicize the wide-ranging platform homosexuals were demanding that Congress enact. There were 7 broad demands, encompassing 55 sub-demands for gays, lesbians, bisexuals, and transgenders. Demand number 1 repeals all sodomy laws and legalizes any and all forms of sexual expression. Age of consent laws would be changed to allow sex with youth, and dress code laws would be repealed, allowing all forms of dress or non-dress.
We want an end to the sodomy laws in this country because they have nothing to do with life or living.
I feel that they need to change the sodomy laws. This is what we're striving for, to change sodomy laws, to be able to be, to show our sexuality in public.
It's wrong that we have laws in America that criminalize sexual behavior, things like the age of consent law and sodomy repeal, and we're going to see that those laws will fall.
Lowering the age limit may educate people and help people become more comfortable with themselves and allow them to grow.
Demand number two diverts massive funds from the defense budget to cover AIDS patients' medical expenses. It calls for taxpayers to fund cosmetic sex change operations for transgenders and supply needles to IV drug addicts. Demand number three legalizes marriages between members of the same sex. Legal adoption, custody, and foster care would also be allowed within these new homosexual family structures.
We have marriages just as other people have marriages, and we want to have the same kind of benefits from the federal government.
Demand number four requires full inclusion of lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgenders in education, childcare, and school counseling programs. Demand number five requires that contraceptives and unrestricted abortion services be made available to all people, regardless of age. Demand number six provides taxpayer funding for artificial insemination of lesbians and bisexuals, and forbids religious-based concerns about homosexuality from being expressed. Demand number seven requires organizations such as the Boy Scouts of America to accept homosexual scoutmasters.
When you talk about the strides that have been made in the gay and lesbian community, I mean, it's good news and bad news. I mean, what's ironic is that this terrible, awful disease, which has taken so many of our friends and lovers away from us, has been the same thing that has gelled us together as a community. And I think it's ironic because it's really because of this disease that we've all gathered much more political strength.
We've had over 100 co-sponsors of the federal Lesbian and Gay Civil Rights Bill the last session of Congress, so we have a lot of people that I think we can consider our friends. Kennedy is one of the main forefront people as far as pushing that bill through.
We have certainly increased the number of our friends in Congress. We've got more energy, more resources, more people with a much higher level of optimism. We've got to keep moving people into office on every level. We cannot step back for a minute. We've got to keep our constituents not for a minute believing that now is the time to lay back. Now is not the time to lay back. We got to move our agenda while we've got a window of opportunity.
We've had some big legislative successes over the last few years, including the passage of the Hate Crime Statistics Act and the Americans with Disabilities Act. And we believe it's time to pass a federal lesbian and gay civil rights bill.
We all know we're going to see an executive order, see a civil rights bill in the very near future.
We're here to demonstrate that the queer community in the United States is united, and we're going to do everything that we can in order to make sure that we get the legislative power that we deserve.
The government does not respond. We are going to make the government respond.
If they keep f***ing with us, then maybe we're going to have to start throwing bombs to make them stop.
We're young, we're queer, we're going to rule the world. We're young, we're queer, we're going to rule the world.
These guys are on the move. They're not only staying with the military and the Supreme Court and the House and the Senate, but they're coming into the states, and they're trying to put in laws at the city level, at the community level, at the county level, at the state level.
And make no mistake about it, we will not stop until we have achieved our freedom, our justice, and our pursuit of happiness.
For the first time in American history, a gay and lesbian inaugural ball was held in honor of the president's election. Throughout the program, Bill Clinton, via videotape, thanked the gay community for its support and financial contribution. In return, the gay community cheered Bill Clinton as the president they put into office.
I just want to thank the gay and lesbian community for their courage and their commitment. I have a reason that you're a part of.
The election of Bill Clinton was the single most significant event in the struggle for lesbian and gay civil rights.
We believe in the new administration, and we want to support it. We cannot stay home and let this go on without us.
It's our government now.
government now.
What you see behind you is a plan for Mr. Clinton, because all of what you see here, Bill Clinton, through his executive offices, appointments, and administrative departments, can do himself without Congress. Although, of course, Congress has got to come up behind and also push. We have a whole other agenda for the 103rd Legislative Congress.
Clinton is a friend of ours, and he's going to take care of all gay and lesbians' rights. He's going to shake up the country.
We're watching you, Bill. We're keeping our eyes on you. We're keeping our big queer eyes on you.
Many of those involved in churches, schools, and businesses are concerned about the ramifications should homosexuals be granted minority status.
Well, if Congress should have the misfortune to include homosexuals within the 1964 Civil Rights Act as a specially protected class, I think it would have a very disastrous effect on our society. It would mean that people against their own religious principles would perhaps have to hire such people.
You're going to see government using the force of law to say to you in your business, you're going to have to hire this person because he is a homosexual.
If you have in some small town in Mississippi a person that comes in is homosexual and says, I want a job, and for whatever reason you don't hire that person, you run the risk of being sued and put out of business. It is a mistake for lots of reasons, including the additional burden on small business men and women.
Special privileges for homosexuals would allow one more reason to file a lawsuit, one more way that a small business could find itself blackmailed politically or economically.
The lengths to which they will go and the legal problems this would cause if we dared to put it in the Civil Rights Act are unimaginable at this point.
Gay activists have wasted no time in pushing their agenda into schools across America.
All right, we're going to stop the tape right there today, but we're going to pick right back up there tomorrow. This is a documentary that we are listening to about the hidden agenda of the gay rights movement. All right, that's it for today. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here on Ghostbusters.